Now, more Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we appreciate you joining us. Let's give the number, James, so people can call us if they have a question.
Sure.
So far, we haven't had a caller here.
Sure.
4 weeks. We're really sucking wind, folks. Please make a call. This is like a telethon. Call.
That's right.
1-888. This is, by the way, toll-free. That means you don't have to pay. Anywhere in North America. 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. And if you're in Fuji or Guam or Sydney,
Berlin,
or
Paris,
or if you're standing next to the Eiffel Tower,
right,
call us right away at 011-847-470-0937. My God, that's a lot of numbers. 011. That's why they get to, they forget the middle.
That's the country.
Country code is 011. Then the area code, 847, which is Chicago. That's where our studio is. 470-0937. Or if you're in America or North America, 1-888-463-6748. And if you used to know me when I was a kid, don't call. Okay. Are you ready?
Right.
Because now it's time for questions from our listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
Love that. You keep jumping up and down on that drum. How do you keep such good time?
I'm very because I'm rhythmic.
Yes, you are.
That is
true. You're arrhythmic.
I have an arrhythmic heart.
You're like a counterbalance.
That's my pacemaker.
Yes, that's what's doing it. No wonder the system is shorting. All right, we're going to take some questions from our very loyal listeners. Here comes the first one, Jim. Mitch from Detroit, Michigan writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is a formal estate plan include? What does a formal estate plan include? And when should it be updated?
Well, basically, an estate plan can and should include a lot of things. But, of course, that depends on the extent of your wealth and the nature of what your investments are or the properties that you own are, or, you know, those kinds of things. But however, it should include life insurance. It should include a method of distributing the property in the event of your
death. Will? Is that a will?
Just a minute.
Oh, I didn't get there. Sorry.
Which would be a will. Mr. Big Nose here is sticking it right in my business. And it could be also that you'd want some what we call inter vivos trusts.
Ah.
That is, you set up trusts before you die. The will also have, can have, and may have, and probably should or should not have.
That's
not
a lot
only,
of haves.
Not only absolute bequests, but also testamentary trust. That is, the will itself sets up the trust. This kind of thing, you really have to see a trust, estates, and wills lawyer to work out, and you should. If you have some property, you should, because people say, well, I don't have much, but what little you have, you want it to go your way,
right, exactly.
And not the way the state wants it to go, because
that's right.
If you don't have a will, if you don't have an estate plan, the state will decide where your property goes. So I advise in that case, because so much is involved in a properly a planned estate, that mm-hmm. you see an estate lawyer. Now, when we say lawyers who needs them, you really need them.
You know, our engineer, Randy, had a testamentary trust, but then he had a hernia operation, and they took care of it.
You are out of your mind.
And as we say, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a will, there's a way.
That's right.
Okay.
There's a will, there's a relative.
That's right.
That shows up.
Speaking of relative, remember right. that guy that called us? He was all upset that his father passed away, and he had three brothers and sisters. Sam. Remember Sam?
Sam.
What's the story about Sam? He wanted
Sam was talking about his will.
Right. And, the father's will.
Yes, the father's will, and the father, they were reading the will.
Right.
They do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep. They
were
reading
the will, and he says, and to my son Sam, who always wanted to be mentioned in my will, I say, hello, Sam.
There you go.
Right. Next.
So there you have it. Next question. Thank you, Mitch, for that wonderful. Here's a beauty from Buffalo, New York. Peyton, we appreciate this so much. He writes, Dear Jim and Randall, Am I legally married if I said, quote, I do, in an intoxicated state of mind while on a trip to Las Vegas? And then he adds a bit more information. Yes, she is a dancer.
Well, you know, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. So I think you're going to have to go to Las Vegas to find out. As you know, each state has its own laws regarding it. Many of them are similar. If you actually married under circumstances in which you did not know what you were doing, you probably can sue for an annulment.
Okay.
I don't say you can just say, I'm not married. That's crazy, because other party will come up with a certificate.
Right. She'll dance right up to you.
She may even dance in the court. But
right.
In Las Vegas, a lot of people dance.
That's right.
And the thing is, for you to understand that if you were intoxicated, you were misrepresented, there was misrepresented as to a material fact concerning the marriage, or you didn't know what you were doing, which apparently you didn't. You may not have known what you were doing when you left the house this morning.
That's
you
right.
can get a lawyer, he'll tell you, and you go to court and you try to get an annulment.
Right.
Because you're a dope. That's why you get the annulment, because you're an absolute dope.
You know, it's funny we say to everybody, we're very sensitive to callers and people with questions.
This guy can take it. He's probably schnocking
right now. Exactly. All right, well, Peyton, thanks for calling. Thanks for writing.
Peyton comes from Peyton Place.
He's in Buffalo. He's down the thruway from here. Oh, my goodness. I got to stay out of there. Hey, here's a great one. I love this. It's got a little alliteration in it.
Yeah.
Kate from Kalamazoo.
Hey.
Kate from Kalamazoo, Michigan writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what can I do if my employer increases my working hours beyond 40 hours a week without increasing my salary?
That's a very good question, and a lot of that is going on. And if you are a wage earner, if you are on an hourly basis,
mm-hmm.
you go to, you're in Buffalo, New York.
No. She's in Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo, Michigan. You go to the Michigan Department of Labor, or its equivalent, and you tell them about this. And they will, you don't need a lawyer for this. If you have not been paid for overtime, there is a state agency in Michigan and in practically every other state
mm-hmm.
that will get after this guy. And we'll get you your money.
And you can't miss them.
There is an exception in some states. And, of course, again, it could be that, if you're salaried, if you're more or less in management, well, then you're not on an hourly basis. You have to give some extra hours. But I would presume from what you're writing that you basically work 40 hours a week and that you are entitled to overtime. And I would go to whatever agency is appropriate. And I think you can look it up on the Internet,
yep.
in a phone book, look under government, Michigan, Department of Labor, Industrial Relations. They may call it something else.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get satisfaction from that agency, and you don't have to worry about getting a lawyer to do that.
Okay. Good answer, James. I'm sure Kate from Kalamazoo feels much better now that she's listened to Lawyers Who Needs Them and has received your unbridled advice.
Unbridled. What a dopey way to put it.
John.
I mean, it's taken me years of accumulated ignorance
to get to this point. and you've come so far.
I have.
Are you ready for the next question?
I'm ready.
Here we go. John from Taos, New Mexico. Did I pronounce that correctly? Taos?
Taos.
Taos, New Mexico.
Great skiing.
Did you go there skiing? You're a great skier,
by the way.
Yes, they call you Jean-Claude Jim Hartman.
Yeah, right. Jean-Claude.
Keely.
No, Kill. Jean-Claude Keel.
Right.
They don't go to the E.
Oh.
Jean-Claude Keel.
You know?
Because I kill people if I am
speaking. I kill you. John.
You're going to ask the question?
Yes.
I'm not going to go to sleep.
I'm trying here.
Okay.
Dear Jim and Randall, what is the best way to protect a manuscript? Do I need a lawyer?
Well, let me reverse it. Yes, you need a lawyer, and the best way to protect the manuscript is to obtain a copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have copyright laws. And I would go to a lawyer who is familiar with the copyright laws.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, in the meantime, however, I would put on your manuscript that this is, if it's a written thing, that, I would put on there, right at the beginning, that like at the title page or something, this is an original literary work by so-and-so.
And the date.
the date, and all rights are reserved. Because there are some common law copyrights, as well as copyright registration, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that advice is coming from a person who is not a copyright lawyer, but, I mean, at least do that, and then get to a copyright lawyer to preserve your manuscript.
Now, I heard also that you can mail yourself certified, and they stamp across the letter, the envelope where it's sealed, that you can mail a copy of it to yourself, which confirms that you were the owner of that on that particular date. So if someone copies it in the future, that's another point of reference. Is there any truth to that, Mr.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm getting a phone call from our agent.
Yeah,
he says
he wants to get rid of us.
He's texting me from his car. He says, we're through.
That's right. I figured that's what he said. But he says it every week.
He does.
But the point is, yes, there are ways to protect it, and I think you should see a lawyer.
Okay. Now, let's go to the next question, and it's Ben from Rochester. Ooh. Hey, right here, local guy.
Right.
He says, Dear Jim and Randall, does a license to practice law in New York qualify a lawyer to practice in New Jersey or any other state?
No. The answer is not necessarily, but mostly no.
Okay.
Because you are admitted to practice in the state in which you are. You can then have to you apply for readmission in different states, and they all vary. Some have reciprocity, where if you practice so many years in a state and you're a good guy and you get somebody in the state to verify your own application and say that you're a good guy, they might admit you. But a lot of states today don't. For instance, Florida has no reciprocity with New York because half the New York lawyers ran to Florida.
They did.
And that kind of thing. But the answer is, if you are a lawyer admitted to practice in New York, can you practice in New Jersey offhand, right off the top? No, you have to get admitted in New Jersey. I will tell you that some of the lawyers I know who are admitted to practice in New York can't even practice in New York. So that's that.
Are these your friends from your fraternity?
Yeah, my fraternity.
Alpha Phi Lost in Space? Yes. That's probably your... Okay, we have a few minutes left here, so let's take one more question quickly, but I don't know that you can answer this one quickly. But we'll take a stab at it, and if we don't, we'll pick it up. You got 1 minute to answer this question. Are you ready?
Yes.
The 1 minute question is...
Right.
Polly from Tulsa, Oklahoma writes, Dear Jim and Randall, why are there only 9 justices on the United States Supreme Court?
Well, because that's the way tradition has had it. There are the Constitution of the United States of America does not limit or set forth the number of judges to be placed on the Supreme Court. All
okay.
It says is that there shall be a Supreme Court. And we have traditionally had 9. You may remember, well, you probably won't remember, but I remember. Back in the Depression, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried to pack the court because they weren't deciding cases the way he wanted in favor of the legislation.
So
that he
put more
proposed
on there.
He tried, but he couldn't.
Okay.
Because we are now at a point where it has been 9 justices for so long that we all have agreed that's how it ought to be. And so it's a traditional thing that there are 9 justices on the Supreme Court. There is no constitutional admonition concerning that.
The number. Very good. That's a very good answer and very historically grounded. Polly, thank you for your question. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to those zany characters at the NCAA Minority Opportunities and Interest Committee who decided to ban all Native American Indian names and mascots from any college sports program.
Our information has it that several schools have taken the ban seriously and made the following changes. The Florida Seminoles will become the Florida Flying Sausage. The St. John Redmen will become the Raging Red Peppers. And the Oregon Running Chiefs will become the Oregon Obnoxious Onions. A special watchdog committee of the Food Channel to help grease their way to adoption is now evaluating all 3 new names.
Lost it again. You're completely lost now? You can't even find this?
Oh, I can.
Have you got the crew?
Yes.
You got it? Are you sure?
I
find it? Okay. He's found it, ladies and gentlemen. He's a loser stuff. I don't know what to do. He lost his car the other day. But that's what happens. Anyway, I don't know about those flying peppers, but those are some pretty crazy names, don't you think?
They are.
Well, I can't tell you what we're going to do with them. But
I think maybe hypersensitivity has come into this, although I don't know. And obviously, if I'm not a Native American, I don't know the extent of sensitivity which would affect me. I just think, it's not a big enough deal to get crazy about.
I think you're a red pepper anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
I'm a hot pepper.
A hot pepper.
Right.
Okay, a jalapeno, a habanero. Anyway, let's...
Jalapeno.
Can we please introduce our crazy crew?
Yes.
Our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
Our meteorologist, Gail Force.
Our sports reporter, Crash Dukenhausen.
Our studio engineer, Rollicking Randy Meyer.
Our producer, Chris Confounded-All Whitting.
And our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
Our technology advisor, Miss Laverne Lazzarino.
Our legal historian, Sir Edward Falvison III.
Good fellow?
Very good. Oxford, you know.
Really?
Yes, always wears the shoe.
Our hair and makeup specialist, Miss Georgia Petras.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Gutz.
Super guy. Director of Impressionism, Mademoiselle Camille Au Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario, just in a time.
Just in a time.
Just in a time.
Each week, folks, he gets us to the studio.
Just in a time.
Well, you have managed to waste a perfectly good hour listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them, and you have survived it. So have a great week. We look forward to talking with you next week. Be kind to your neighbors, and no matter what happens, including the stock market, don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, folks, including the stock market, all small stuff.
That's all, folks.